You might like to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews in chapter 7. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Again, looking to you in the light of these moments. And our God, we're going to thank you for what you're doing and how you do. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. So, in our study of the book of Hebrews, God gives the book of Hebrews all 13 chapters in order that we might know and honor him the better. And enjoy him, not only as our Creator, as our Savior, but as our very life. To enjoy the life of God requires God to make that life possible. So, and we share together in the light of that chapter 7, and he is telling us in verses 1, 2, and 3, we share together Christ is the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that's back in Genesis chapter 14. And we did all of that. Now, in the light of that, we share together in verse 5. Who verily they are of the sons of Levi who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. And we did that so that you would have to think about the law. The law isn't normal. The law is abnormal. It's because of the unbelief of Israel when God has chosen them to be his vehicle. And if he didn't choose them, he could treat them like the Philistines and Jebusites and everybody else. But he has chosen them. And since they are not going to be believing, and they're not looking to God, so you can't have your chosen instrument non-functional. So the law is given, so Israel is able to be schooled, jailed, confined to the law. And we went through that a little bit. Now, the law is not normal. Why is that? God, being God, is the only God. The only one there is. Go any way you want, time, eternity, look wherever you want. You're going to end up with God. Whatever philosophy, whatever you want to think, whatever you want to study, when you're all done, you'll end up with God. That's where you end up. No matter how you cut the cookie, that's how it ends. I need to know that. So I have that clear in my mind. So I start with God. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, what? God created the heaven and the earth. How'd God start? In the beginning, God. God's the starting point. So having said that, what else do I know? Well, Christ died on the cross. That's how we're all created and why we're created. And therefore, so everyone that is born dead in sins, they're born spiritually dead out of Adam. In Adam's sin, In Adam's sin, we all fall. And so we're born dead and we grow up and we try to be alive. But really, when it comes to God, we're dead. We don't have the relationship to God that is required, so we're dead. We're dead. Now, who wants to hear that? Well, think about that. Now, you know what it would be like if you were born, had no eyesight. You'd be blind. You couldn't see. And you would know that. So if I said blindness, and you were blind, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. you can't see. If you are deaf, same, whatever, eyesight, deaf, whatever you want. And most of all, what is the evidence that we're born spiritually dead? And you're going to find some evidence. What is the evidence? What's the conclusion? We die. Why do we die? Everyone that's living dies. We're from dust, by dust, to dust. We die. Where's the evidence we're born spiritually dead? You're going to die. Why do you die? So if you say, well, I'm not dead, I'm okay with God, you better think about that again. No, we're born dead. And we die. So that takes care of that part of it. So what are we going to do on planet Earth in the light of the law? In the light of the law. It's just this little segment of Israel from Moses to the cross. That's it. Now, God, what are you doing with up till then, up till Israel and Moses? What do we have? We have all the world, the Gentiles, and that's what they are. It's not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but all of that. And so in the process of being Gentiles, what do we need to do? We're all, think of Genesis 6. Genesis 6, every man did evil, more so, more and more, greater and greater. Genesis 6, 5, yeah, they just did more. And they were in the presence of God. What did they need to do? What did require Cain to do, Abel to do? Believe. Why? He created them. They're dead in sins. They need to be saved. What do you need to do to get saved? That's our condition. We're dead. We need to believe. We need to believe God's wonderful saving grace before the foundation of the world. We need to believe that. Where's the law? You don't need the law. God made a wonderful promise. Receive the promise. You don't need a law to discipline anything, to confine. The law just tells you we can't. So we don't need that. So why is there no law? Because everyone is required in East Asia, East Nepal, and West Nepal, and Venezuela. They all need to what? Believe. That's what they need to do. Simple as that. You got to believe. You're dead in sins. You need to be saved. How are we going to be saved? Well, no Savior. We look on. God died on the cross. He died. Why did Christ die on the cross? Because before you were created by your Creator, Christ made provision for you to be saved. So when you're born physically, you can be born spiritually. So there's no law. No law. Which is there. You need to be saved. What do we tell people? We don't tell them about a law. They need to believe. What do they need to do in the tribulation? Believe. What do you need to do in the millennium? Believe. That's what we got to do. There's no big rules or anything. You just need to be saved. You need to be saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, if you just have that in mind, so here we read in chapter 7, verse 5, the priesthood, the commandment, and the tithes, people according to the law. And we shared together when we did that. The law says you have to. The law can't do anything. It's powerless. The law says you have to. You're jailed. Schoolmaster. Very rigid, disciplined schoolmaster. You have to do it. So that's what they did. That's what the law does. Law says if you aren't going to believe me, then at least you're going to be confined to honor all the different things which you're looking at, all the wonderful things that belong in the Old Testament to Israel, the feast, the dress, the clothing, what they ate, how they ate, how they lived, Sabbath day, Sabbath year, a Sabbath month, all of those wonderful things, all of those. All in the law. When the law goes, they all go. Now, so the book of Hebrews is what? Trying to get you to God. Christ died on the cross. You need to get to God. Period. And now you've got to, of all the people in the earth that you're going to give this to, isn't to the Jebusites or the Philistines or anyone else. You're going to have to give it to the people that are supposed to know God. That's Israel. And Israel. So Israel, of all the people on earth, all the religions, pantheism and all the different things, all the religions in the world are just religions. That's all they are. They can't be more than that. There is no God to back them up except the God of this world, the devil himself, to give them power. So here they are, and they're going to have to go and believe God, trust God. Now, in the process of doing that, looking to God, and as they do that, they're going to be saved. So the law comes to Israel, I started to say, because they're the one people on earth that's supposed to know God. They're supposed to know. So you're going to help the people. Help Israel, and you help the rest of us that are out here. The rest of us, because we don't have any law. We're just out here, humans, doing what we do religiously, politically. That's what we do. So the law is going to be one addressed to Israel. So Israel, if you get Israel straightened out, they're to be a witness. Israel has to be a true witness. They will be in the millennium. It's going to take the tribulation to make it happen, but they will be. So we're going to address in Hebrews the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest. We're going to address that priesthood because of all the peoples of the world, the one thing that people had access to God, supposedly, were the Israelites by way of the priesthood, by way of the sacrifice. They were supposed, so let's straighten out, understand Israel and the law. If we understand Israel and the priesthood and the law, then the whole world can get straightened out because we all, different parts of the world, different parts of history, people have sacrifices. Used to be more so. We don't read a lot of sacrifices at all in Genesis 6. We don't read any sacrifices. Not in Genesis 6. So as we become more materialistic, more godless, we don't care about anything. What's the one of the mysteries of the in the last days that we're living in? The mysteries of what? Lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness. Mystery. How could God let lawlessness go like it is and go the channel? So as the lawless, what do we need to see? All our priesthood, all our religion, all our sacrifices, counting beads and going up steps and everything we do to purge ourselves, to make ourselves somehow look better, feel better, all of that does nothing. That's our humanness, our religions. And when we look at Israel, here's their law and here's their religion, as we would say, Judaism. And here's their system. And God is going to take that little system of law and put it down and get it out of the way. So you don't look at this law. We're Gentiles looking at Jews who are supposed to know God better than we do. So I'm going to look and see God's going to take that right down. Boom, out of the way. That's what Hebrews 7. Ready? Okay, chapter 7. And you recall verse 4, 7 and 4. And now remember, we're looking, we already have argument. What's the argument going to help us? It's going to help us to understand that the Levitical system is not going to work. And if the Levitical system doesn't work, the priesthood doesn't work, And if the priesthood doesn't work, the law doesn't work. Because the laws make the priest make the law work, not the people. And if the priests aren't right and can't do it, the law that's connected, the reason you got the law is the priesthood, to make it work. Now, so therefore, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, that's Melchizedek, verses 1 through 3, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Now we're looking at what? A, the greatness. How much great? How great is Melchizedek? That's the argument, if I'm reading, as a Jew or Gentile, I'm reading, and if here's all the priesthood, Levitical priesthood, and here it is, and Melchizedek is greater. How much greater than the law, than the priesthood? How much greater? That's what we're going to look at. It's so, it exceeds. It makes the priesthood and law look like nothing because it's powerless. Both are powerless. Now, so therefore, greatness. And then we come in the light of that. And by the way, before we do that part, in order to pick up maybe what we just did in a little different way, go over with me, please, over to John. John chapter 8, just again for my own sake, John chapter 8, so you'll see it. John chapter 8, picking up please, in verse 33. What I'm after is the attitude of the priesthood of the Pharisees of Israel to what the Lord Jesus is trying to tell them. Verse 33, 8:33. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So what we're looking at is that the Jews claimed we're counting on Abraham. Genesis 15:6. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. They are looking here to get to God, and they stop at Abraham. They stop. Abraham is enough. Our tradition is enough. Our Christian background is enough. It's enough. We go to church. It's enough. It's enough now. And taking that a little further, verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou art a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Huh. No, they said, we're Abraham's seed. They aren't going past Abraham. They're stopped with Abraham. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, because they want to know, how come we're never going to die? Verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not 50 years old, And thou hast seen Abraham. See, how can you see? You're 31, 32, but in there. Now, having said that, you want to know, how can you be? I've seen it. How can you see Abraham? And he answers wonderfully. Verse 58. You remember when we did this. Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, assuredly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before he ever was, I always was. Wow. See, they don't get to God. So how many times we go so far. We'll pick it up in a minute. Only so far. we never get to where it's going. Now, so the argument is, if you stop at Abraham, you never get to where you're going. Did Abraham stop with himself? No. He has been given the privilege, a wonderful privilege by God, to be the example, the patriarch of promise. Not Job, not somebody else. God picked Abraham to be the example. David to walk with God. Abraham to look to God. And Abraham was God's patriarch of promise. He was given the right to tell. If we believe Abraham, Galatians 3, if we believe Abraham, Abraham believed God. If you believe like Abraham, you will be saved. Abraham believed God. That's how you're going to get saved. Now, which we said. Now, having said that in mind, keeping that. So here's all of that. And we share together the tithe and all of those things. Now, in chapter 7, picking up, please, back over in Hebrews. And verse 5 and 6 are a contrast. They're a contrast between the Levites receiving tithes and Melchizedek receiving tithes. There's a difference. And you need, because they're all caught up in this. Remember, the average Gentile isn't, but the Jews that should be seeking God don't. And they have to be, it has to be taken care of clearly, which is what Hebrews is doing. Taking clearly, making it very, very clear. I want you to understand the law is a little segment, as we shared. I'm taking it out of the way. I don't want you looking at the law. I don't want you to look at Abraham and stop. I want you to look past Abraham to the God of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, having said that, so it's a contrast. Verse 6, remember, I'll read the according to the law, the end of verse 5, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. In other words, everyone's Abraham produces Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all Israel. All 12 tribes of Israel came from Abraham. Now, they're all descendant from him, so they're all related. Verse 6. He whose descent is not counted from them receiveth tithes of Abraham, blessed and blessed him that had promises, that had the promises. That's Abraham. Well, what did the man do? What did Abraham do? Remember Malachi? Remember Melchizedek, Genesis 14? Abraham, coming back from his victory over the kings, he meets Melchizedek in Jerusalem, and he gives tithes. He's the king of Salem. He's the one. He gives his tithes to him, gives their tithes in a most wonderful way to Melchizedek. Now, that's what he did. Abraham gave tithes. When Abraham gave tithes, everyone in Abraham gave tithes. We're all out of Abraham. We're all out from that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So when he gave tithes, the Levites all gave tithes. The Levites are the priests who get tithes from the people. And the Levites give to that branch within them, the priesthood, and they give tithes. Tithes is like a thing. But this man took tithes. Melchizedek, he never gave tithes. He didn't give any tithes. He took them. Ah, he's greater. That's right. Abraham and all the Levites are under that law that you have to make something happen. So, if I can, verse 6, verse 5, people, verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes in Abraham and blessed. In other words, Melchizedek isn't of the line of Abraham. He isn't of any line. And God put him in the bid, gave no information about him, as we shared all those things. Melchizedek, he has no beginning and has no end, has no genealogy, no descent, nothing. No mother, no father, nothing. God did that so that he could use him as a type of his wonderful, wonderful person, the priesthood that overrides all other priesthoods and makes all other priesthoods nothing. Now, having said that, in verse 7, and without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Now, less means less in rank, less inferior, smaller in rank. The Levites are blessed. Abraham is blessed. Abraham and the Levites and the priest are blessed. They're little, they're less. They're blessed. How are they blessed? By the greater, remember verse 4. By the higher in rank. Melchizedek, his wonderful superior priesthood. He blesses. Abraham can give you a blessing, but Abraham has to be blessed by God. And God doesn't bless, no one blesses God in that sense. God is God. All alone, singularly, God. So therefore, in verse 8, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, but there, that is, back in Genesis 14, Melchizedek, here is the Levites, here the Levites, men that die receive tithes, they receive tithes. That's the Levites, priest. But there, Melchizedek, back in Genesis 14, he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. He never has a beginning, a death. He ever lives. He has no beginning and no end, as it were. Now, so there, having said that, Christ's wonderful priesthood abides, and there is no other to be found. There is no other needed. He's the only priest. He's the only priest when you're all done. Everyone else dies. Keep going. Verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. And Levi, who took tithes, paid tithes. He paid tithes in Abraham. Abraham paid to Melchizedek. The sequence. Levites get tithes from the people. The Levites give tithes to the priest within their own rank, and the Levites give tithes to Abraham, to Melchizedek. The sequence. They belong. They all have to give. They all have to own up. The business of tithing has to do with God, God's wonderful person, and God's wonderful, he's the provider in a most, most wonderful way. So therefore in the process, verse 9, and as I may so say, Levi also received tithes, paid tithes unto Abraham. Verse 10. For, remember the little word for, you're going to keep seeing for, giving you a reason. For. Next statement, next for, next reason, next explanation. Explanation upon explanation upon explanation upon explanation. Each thing is developed all the way. For. That's the way it did the whole thing. Now, therefore, verse 4, he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him, which is what we've been sharing. So therefore, verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after, that the order of Melchizedek it should be called after the Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron, the priesthood. In other words, How are we going to get perfect? The word perfect, complete, finished, full, complete, leaving nothing else, finished. The Aaronic priesthood didn't finish anything. Your traditions, all your practices, it just keeps going and going. They never perfect. They don't do anything when you're all done. I think of Norman Vincent Peale. I remember sitting on the steps of the Methodist Church. I think I told all these things in Los Angeles, just down from the church, the open door with Dr. McGee. We sat on the steps and talked. It's amazing. Amazing. We used to sit on the steps, public steps, going into the building. I did that with more than one person. I used to counsel out on these steps sometime. You know, the building was shut up, so we'd sit on the steps and talk. That's how big we are. Boy, do we have fancy stuff, right? Now, so, anyway, as you say, Norman Vincent Peale and that. So what are we doing? Well, we're going to go perfection. And we're going to do what be thinking good, do right, clean your life up. Well, how do you clean your life up? How do you clean? All you can do is move, think of the big bag of potatoes, and you think of being a big bag of potatoes. That's you. And in the being a big bag of potatoes, what do you do with your life? Shift the tables, right? Potatoes, right? You move this potato over to here, and this potato over to here, right? You're going to fix your life. That's all you're doing. I'm going to fix my life. I'm going to watch my language, move it over here to move it over here, see? But all I'm doing is playing with my potatoes. Do you get that? When you're all done, that's all you're doing. So God bless Norman Vincent Peale and all the, but it doesn't perfect anything. The priesthood doesn't perfect anything. They all die. It never works. It never, never will work. It's impossible to work in every way, shape, and form. It just can't work. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in my mind, perfection, awesome perfection. So now we're going to have to say, well, how are we going to get perfect? Well, you aren't going to get perfect, complete, through the Aaronic priesthood. It isn't going to happen. Never, 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 never. The law can't make anything. Your works can't make anything. The flesh cannot make anything. Therefore we come in verse 12. I'll read verse 11 again. If therefore perfection were by the Levite priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest who should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Adam? That's the negative part. They'd forget Aaron. Aaron isn't going to do it. Melchizedek is. So therefore, verse 12, explanation, reason. For the priesthood being changed. Aaron, it can't go. The priesthood's out. The priesthood is under the law. As long as the law is, the law makes the priesthood exist. The priesthood makes the law exist. Take away the law and you have no priesthood. You have nothing. They're all connected like this. So you can't. It won't be separate. So, if I can. For the priesthood being changed, there is made in necessity a change also of the law. If the priesthood doesn't work, and thus the law doesn't, the priesthood doesn't work, the law can't work. Can't work. That can't work. If the priesthood fails, the law fails. If the priesthood is no good, that's how they got to God. The priest would go in once a year, the Day of Atonement, etc., for sacrifice representing Christ's death on the cross. And all of it would be, and we'd be still doing it. Wasn't going to do it. It can't do anything. So therefore, it has to be changed. Changed in a most wonderful way. So having said that, keeping that perfection, Melchizedek, the condition. The condition is false. The conclusion is false. Therefore, a need for another priest, as we shared after the order of Melchizedek and not Aaron. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, let me just take a little spot and do a little exercise to see it. Easy. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 17. Remember what we said in the beginning? Matthew chapter 17. And may I pick up, you remember, the mountain, northern part of Palestine. But the Lord Jesus Christ is transfigured, takes Peter, James, and John with him. And in the process of his interacting, giving Peter, James, and John an exercise, the Lord Jesus Christ is transfigured, chapter 17, verse 3. And Moses and Elijah are there. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets. Here's the law and the prophets. Hang on to that. And here they are, and they're there, all of it. And therefore, and Moses and Elijah, and Peter and James and John are certainly overwhelmed with it all. And they were going to say, listen, let's build three tents up here, three tabernacles, and never go down. Let's just stay here. Wow. Why can't we just stay here with them? You know? Wow. And the poor people down below, what do they care? See? Now, so, and the Lord knows our thinking, our reasonings. Verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, the bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, the voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, and they did, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid, understandably. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, don't be afraid. And now the whole point. And when they lifted up their eyes, remember, they saw no man save except Jesus only. What did we say when we did our exercise in the beginning? God. Period. Everything else, everything has to turn to God. Find God. That's how we live. So we understand every activity, every thing going on in creation has to answer to God. Period. We're in his presence. God. Now, so what do they need to understand, Peter, James, and John? They needed to understand it's Jesus only. Is it the law? Moses? No. Is it the prophets? No. It's God in Christ, period. Simple. Make it even, sure, lock it in. Luke 24. And you know John 5:35, search the scriptures for them if you think you have life. They're all about me. John 5:39. Now, here's Luke 24, and God tell it to us again. He's going to, after his resurrection, what are you going to tell us, God? Verse 24, Luke 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Concerning me. That's your whole Testament. Your whole Old Testament. It's all about God. Now, what do we need then? Then, what do you need to do to help us, God? What do we need to do? Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings. No. The scriptures. That's why we read them. Why do we read them? Why? We had a fellow come up and visit one day, a while back. I remember he sat over there. He drove up from some place down south, all the way up here with his kids. I didn't believe it. George, you might remember him up here. And he came up, and he wanted to see this. Anyway, a little bit. He said, I don't believe He said, I need to understand, how can you use so much Bible? I don't know anyone that uses so much Bible. He said, I don't believe it. So then he sat through the message, and after he came up and told me he counted, I hope you weren't counting, how many times, how many verses, how many statements did you read? You see, he said, I don't believe it. But that's where the message is. I don't want to hear your words. I want to know what God is saying, Genesis to Revelation. I want the mood, movement. So therefore, the Lord Jesus said, when you're reading the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, it's all about me. Not about the law, not about Elijah. It's about me. Therefore, Romans chapter 10. And when you read, that's a test, that knows if how you're doing with your Bible reading. Are you finding God as you read the Bible? If you don't find God, that means, when I read some verses I don't really understand, Ezekiel or something, and I don't understand, but God's saying them. When you read the Bible, open the Bible, not your smartphone. When you open the Bible, it's God, God's word. Just like if I had a letter from the president, this letter wouldn't be good. Anyway, I had a letter here, and the letter is signed by the whatever general, the four-star general, and I'm a lowly private. And the little letter says, you have been commissioned to the high state of corporal. And so I'm really impressed. And I have this letter. And this letter confirms it. The letter confirms the statement. God has written a letter. And he's confirmed the statement. We have the Bible. We have the Bible, God's word. And God says, it's all about himself and what he's after, and what your wonderful, you pick it up in the morning, Lord willing, your creation. And that's what it's all about. So you need to know that. It's all about God. You're all going to find God every time. So in Ezekiel, I'm at least going to be sober, God's saying something. And when God says something, think of little kid, even big kids. Think of a doctor. And a doctor there, and you're there, and you have in the hospital, make believe, and you're laying there, and the doctor's coming in, and the doctor comes in, and he is there, and he's talking to you, and then the other doctor comes in, and they're talking to each other, and explaining, they're talking to each other, and then looking at you. Now that they're talking about your condition, their diagnosis and prognosis of your condition. And they're using words and terms I have no idea what they're talking about. I have no idea what they're talking about. They do. You understand? They do. But I respect. I don't understand what they're saying. But I respect them. I am conscious of their being a doctor and diagnosing and prognosing my condition and taking care of me. So when I read Ezekiel, I may not understand it, but I look to, I knew God. God said it. And remember we said, you don't understand everything. You believe it because God said it. You don't understand it. You believe it. Believing helps you to get to understand. If you aren't going to believe, you're not going to understand. That's the way it is. Now, so, Romans 10, and you know then, Jesus only. So we, verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans 10, 2. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, and underlined, as you probably already have, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the end. They saw Jesus only. He's the end. Stop. Stop what? The law can't get you to God. It confines you. You got to get out of the law to believe. That's what the law was, to hold them in check till they would believe. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, in perfection, I'm trying to read Hebrews 7 and Romans 9. It just isn't coming out. That's all I can tell you. Back over to Hebrews 7. I could do it, but then it would be silly, wouldn't it? So we're talking about God's wonderful, wonderful, the law. The law makes nothing perfect. You need to be perfected. Now that's clear. The priest had to offer a sacrifice every day, a day of atonement every year. Had to offer a sacrifice for his sin and the sin of the people. And he had to do it. And once he dies, the next priest comes in, and the next priest, and the next priest. What's happened to each priest? They die. Doing what? Continuing the same process that can never take it away. So it would never end. Never end. So, and I'll read verse 11 completely. If therefore perfection, whereby the Levite Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, that further need was there, what further need was there for another priest, that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Adam? Aaron, verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity of change also in the law. The law has to go. If the law doesn't work, the priesthood doesn't work. The priesthood practices the law, gives expression to the law. Without the priesthood, you don't see any law. The priesthood gives expression to it, as it were. Now, verse 14. For it is evident, that our Lord sprang out of the tribe of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Now the Levites, Aaron's a Levite, the priesthood and the Levitical priesthood, but Judah, the prince tribe, there's nothing about Judah being a priest. There's nothing about Judah being a priest. Judah isn't a priest. Ah, no, they're not. Verse 12. Well, we Jews know that, make believe. For it is evident, very clear, very, 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 very clear. It is evident without telling us, clear, plain, known, overall. Everyone knows that Judah is not of the priesthood. And what do you know about our Lord if you went to Matthew 1:1 and then started, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, is of the tribe of Judah. Judah. So as we keep turning the pages, who does he belong to? Judah. Why did God keep Israel all the between the Malachi and John the Baptist? Because he had to keep the tribe in law, in jail, in check, because the Son has to rise. The Son of God, the Son of David, has to come out of out of Israel, Judah, in order to go to the cross. It has to be. Even little old Israel, there they are with their temple, Herod, all of the tribes, because out of it comes Luke chapter 3, etc. Mary, son of David, for the line of David, etc. Of the son of David, etc. Now, having said that, in verse 14, for it is evident, clear, public, plain, that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Concerning Moses, Moses spake nothing about Judah being a priest. Verse 15, and yet it is far more verse 15. Far more, explanation, condition, four. It is yet far more, continues, perfection. Clear, verse 14. Verse 15, even more clear, more evident, more plain, more easy. It's intensive evidence. The evidence is even more clear that after the similitude, the likeness of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's obvious. Another, if you read Psalm 110, there's another priest. He's the Psalm 110:4 and that. Priest after the order of Melchizedek, and another priest has to arrive. They knew that. They knew it, but they never get past Abraham, as we shared. Abraham stopped. They don't get to God. They don't get to God. Just stop at Abraham. Tradition. It's a system, and we count on that. We're counting on that. Lots of people come. I'm counting on that I've been good enough as compared to everybody else. People doing that, right? Lots of people do that. I'm not as bad, so God, if they can't, I'm not going to get what they get. All right. Now, so therefore, verse 15, it is far more evident that after the similitude, likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Verse 16, who is made not after the law of a carnal, fleshly, all the line of Abraham died. They all, Levites, died. All the high priests died. They can't live. It doesn't make it. They all die. They have to live. They don't. Who is made, verse 16, not after the law of a carnal, fleshly commandment, but after the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. Since it's impossible. Power of an endless life. Dynamite, the power, the life, the endless life of power. That's awesome. Now that's a big thing, a wonderful thing. God said, listen, I am in Christ, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, and I have power, an endless life, to be able to do whatever has to be done. I have life, an endless life, to be able to do whatever has to be done. The power of an endless life. I'm your Savior. I'm the one that makes it work for you. I am your priest. I am the one. Not only did I save you, I live for you. The Lord, after the order of Melchizedek, I live for you an endless life. That's why when you get saved, you have what? Eternal life. John 17:3. What is eternal life? To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's what it's about. Awesome. I hope you got a little bit.